Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Hello and welcome to another episode of the I Create Daily podcast, a movement for creators serious about their art. I'm Devani.
And I'm Leora.
And today this is another coffee break episode, one of our shorter episodes where we talk about ideas, concepts, and people that inspire us. And we drink coffee or chai or smoothie, depending on what time of day and
or
year it is.
Or green juice, depending on whether we're being even good or not.
Even gooder. Depends on if we're being even gooder or not. So, yeah. Today we're going to tackle the concept of working from home and what that experience is like. So come on, grab your favorite drink and join us.
Yeah, and it should be a brief episode, but it's inspired by the concept of authenticity. Like where we are right now, we're sitting outside. So if you're not seeing it on video and you're listening, we're sitting outside our home in North Carolina. And this, whenever possible, Devani and I try to conduct our podcast from this place as well, as we often work from here as well, when the weather's right.
Yep.
And it's such a wonderful opportunity to just relax into enjoying your work and not worry about, you know, the kind of stuffy environment of the suit and tie. For women, you know, the hose, the stockings, the corporate look.
Pencil skirts.
Yeah.
I have a bone to pick with pencil skirts.
Well.
And some women like it.
That's it.
And it looks good on some people. And I like seeing other people who look good in them.
And
to see them wear it.
Yeah.
But I think about putting that on and just thinking about it kind of constricts my mind.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you would look fantastic in it. So that's not the issue. It's just more like, so constricting things, you know, that's definitely not our background and not from us.
Which is interesting because we both have claustrophobia.
Yeah, and we're both inclined.
What's the other one that's not claustrophobia?
Claustrophobia. C-L-E-I.
That's the fear of claustrophobia.
It's the fear of being trapped, actually. Specifically, the fear of being trapped. And so many people with claustrophobia, like for me, for instance, I could feel trapped in an auditorium, if there wasn't easy access to a door,
in fact, even when we're at the theater, even though it's a big space, if you're not sitting at the aisle, it's anxiety producing because it's dark and you can't just immediately get up. I mean, you could immediately get up, but because there's like people in front of you and stuff, it's the same as like a corporate environment or say even the conceptual ideas of not being able to do what you want to do.
Right. And so interesting that you mentioned that part of it, because we have an interview with Mark Asquith, founder of podcastwebsites.com and Excellence Expected. And he was talking about the thing that has motivated him the most throughout his serial entrepreneur life and multiple businesses and creation of that is the concept of freedom to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And that's sort of like the concept of lifestyle entrepreneur or working from home. And what I think is important about, and I mean, we kind of branched into claustrophobia, which I think is interesting. That's a part of the working from home concept. I guess working anywhere, you can branch into conversations and you can also lose focus. And so you do have to create your own structure and discipline and schedule and regimen. So, you know, for us, the 90-day journal is perfect for that. For the people in our community, many of them use the 90-day journal to help them stay on focus. But if you're used to being in a corporate environment and having the corporate schedule dictate where you are, when, and how you produce, then going freelance can be a little unnerving at first, and it's like you have to create your own structure and your own constraints, beautiful constraints, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's a book by that title that we'll link to. But what it does is like, so the stuffiness for us of the corporate environment, immediately, it's like there's that gut feeling I'm considering doing something business-wise or engaging in something that in my life I have known when not to do it by the feeling in my gut based on that. And it's like constraint. And
that's interesting because we could do a whole other coffee break on like how to identify gut feelings, because there's a gut and it's not super, super common for people to know like what their gut is telling them. Like even like not only from an emotional standpoint, but even from a health standpoint. Yeah. And everything you do, like, when you're, and this is, like, kind of, it's, like, kind of going all over the place, way off yeah. of this working at home concept, but I think the biggest thing for us is not feeling constricted in any way, shape, or form at all.
Yeah.
And that can be scary to some people who really love structure, and yet for, and it depends on the type of creative you are, and yet for many creatives who like the freedom, then having the freedom in life kind of represents the freedom in art too.
Yeah, well, that's true. And so I think that we have to have constraints in order to get things done.
Yeah.
But then the goal is to have it be according to the life that you want to live and what's important to you, rather than a constraint by somebody else. You know, it's kind of interesting to think about the suit and tie concept and how the tie, and this is, again, if you love suits and ties, and that's awesome. We have known gentlemen in our lives who, even up until, you know, their 90s.
Shout out to Tayo Roxon, who wears a suit and tie all the time and
exactly.
rocks it. Like,
exactly.
And it looks great on him.
Exactly.
And that's his style.
Exactly. And so I've known gentlemen in their 90s who still wear a tie, even when they're, you know, no longer working, yeah. because that's become their comforts and what they're used to. But the upside down concept of that, from our standpoint of freedom, is it's like, who decided that's like a noose around your neck,
right.
you know, was a good thing. And, yeah. you know, so I get that it ties in, literally ties the suit together in looks and appearance, and it can be wonderful. But there are a lot of other looks as well. And what doesn't make sense to me from the corporate standpoint is suits and ties in summer when it's hot.
Oh my gosh, I know.
And so then the air conditionings are cranked way down to keep the guys in the suit who are dressed inappropriately for the season comfortable, while the women then in their tank tops are huddling in sweaters.
It makes no sense.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's like, so, and there's part of it too, where we were talking with Mark Asquith, whenever this, his episode will either come out before or after this one. So we'll link it once it's live, wherever it shows up. But anyway, we were talking about how it's not really about the look of professionalism necessarily. It's more about, he was saying, like, being respectful, owning your values, and showing up. And that is, quote, professional, because professionals, whether they wear, like, I mean, we're in tank tops and jeans and, you know, and that's fine. And we do want to appear good on the camera. Like, we want the appearance of, we care about how we appear. We just don't want it imposed on us by somebody else, like, you have to look like this, and this is what looks right.
And this is what constitutes a good look.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We'd yeah. rather be the substance of what we have to offer.
Right. And so, you know, one of the things about working from home, like, I'm old enough as a baby boomer to remember Dress for Success book for women. So early on, I guess this would have been in the 80s, maybe the early 80s book, when women were, you know, more and more in the workplace and taking on full-time professional careers, where the attire that was appropriate was a navy blue skirt and jacket suit, a white blouse, and then preferably like a little red bow tie. Bow tie kind of thing. And a navy blue pump scarf would have been a little too elaborate. Like a
navy
too,
blue does not look good on everybody.
Navy blue pumps. Well,
it's not politically correct, but it's a color that does not rock on everybody.
But that was like the uniform. That was,
yeah.
That was the uniform that established you as a serious woman in the workplace. And if you didn't, you know, if you came from home and you didn't have that tight, mm-hmm. polished look, then you were considered like even potentially a dowdy homemaker.
Right.
And so it's like that, there was a real separation.
I think that sometimes it's okay in the beginning to have sort of a standard, but sometimes we get trapped by our own
yes.
standards,
yeah.
our own boxes that we put ourselves in.
Yeah.
We were talking about that with Amber of Mediavine, and she was talking about how sometimes bloggers will put themselves in those boxes of, this is what I blog about, and this is my creative endeavor, and I don't talk about anything that doesn't fit
right.
in this box. And yet, and on one hand, it keeps the structure, and on the other hand, it traps you into
right.
one creative outlet, when creativity
right.
is about freedom.
Right, and exactly, and this ties in so well with, again, many in our audience are millennials, and as well as we have baby boomers and beyond seniors. And what's important about this is the concept that, so going through the 70s and 80s career boom and to corporate. And that's the reason it's important to talk about it now is because it's still there to some extent. Mm-hmm. And that is the mindset of whether or not you're ready enough to put your work into the world, whether or not your work is ready to put into the world, yeah. whether or not you have to have the perfect office, the perfect, you know, level of success to begin to put your work into the world. And it's sort of like the corporate concept is the email before it goes out, you know, has gone through several committees or editors to make sure it's perfect and perfect grammatically, et cetera. And whereas now the entrepreneurial, the millennial approach, mm-hmm. and entrepreneurial approach is more get it out there and get it done.
Yeah.
And don't worry about perfection because almost is good enough, mm-hmm. you know? And now, I mean, this is like,
and it's like good enough in the world is better than not at all, nothing having been produced.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Seth Godin style, just yeah. ship it. And I think, you know, this is also like Mark Asquith's, mantra, you know, is excellence expected. And so we still shoot for doing the best we can, mm-hmm. but to not be stifled by that expectation of excellence to the point where we, you know, take too long to get the work out into yeah. the world. You know, so like, it's okay if there is a punctuation, you know, like we publish an article and then later somebody will tell us, so there's an error there, a mistake on this, and we'll go in and fix it because it's an organic thing. You can go in and update it and improve it, you know, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a bevy of editors, you know, to look through and make sure that everything yeah. that goes out is, you know, perfect. Pristine. Yeah, exactly. But that's not like the real world in a way, because that's not how we live our lives. So which gets back to the concept of, you know, working from home or, you know, with the attitude of working from home. And that is, this is life. You know, mm-hmm. it's like we're outside. The dogs sometimes will bark during our podcast and we try to kind of keep them sequestered. Sometimes there are phone interruptions, et cetera. And that is real. You know, like same thing for moms. You know, there are moms like yesterday when we were, or I know this won't be yesterday for the podcast folks. I mean, because I don't know when this is going to air, but when we were interviewing Amber of Mediavine, Amber Bracegirdle of Mediavine, her child, I think 18 months old child, mm-hmm. was occasionally heard in the background, maybe even a dog too. I don't remember yeah. the sounds, as well as on our side. And the deal is, that's real life.
That's who we are.
That's like, who we are, yeah. and that's real life. And if you are visiting with us, which is our goal here with this podcast, it's like to join in, to share our conversations because they inspire us and they're part of our life and our journey of growth and business development in the world. So we interview people whom we admire for the podcast and you guys learn from them as we do. And then we share these coffee break riffs. They're just conversation mm-hmm. between us that are part of, you know, like, this is our life. Exactly.
Because we were talking about this yesterday and we were talking about this before recording. And also one of my favorite viral clips that I think it was either 2017 or 2016. Time flies. But, and we'll link the video, but one of my favorite things was somebody was being interviewed. I think they were British. I don't remember though. So I think it was like a BBC thing. And they were being interviewed on live TV. On live TV, they were getting interviewed and their little baby walks in. Like it was like the little baby girl, I think like a 2-year-old just walks in. And then I think the mom or the nanny or whoever comes and gets it. But it was the most adorable, precious
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And that is real life. Even like it happens on live TV. I think it was amazing that it happened on live TV. Some people were like, that's weird. What's
right.
that? But I was just like, yes, that's real life. Those
right.
people on TV, those people that we put on pedestals, all of us, that's just part of everyday life.
Right.
That's,
and so,
you know,
so it's interesting to, yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
No, I was done.
Yeah. So that it's interesting to consider. Where you go doesn't change what's in your mind in mm-hmm. terms of your ability to bring content into the world, your ability to create. That exists within your head. It's not a part of the environment of perfection that you have or don't have.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Churchill movie we saw recently, the newest one.
The Darkest Hour.
The Darkest Hour. And I could so relate to and love the concept of Churchill getting ready in the morning. And he's walking around from bathroom to bedroom in his robes with his bevy of his entourage of assistants.
His scribe.
Yeah, his scribe and his secretary and his et cetera, following him along, planning his day while he's getting ready. It didn't matter that he's in his bathrobe. And I mean, I could relate about, because obviously I don't have a bevy of assistants following me around in the morning.
Right.
But what I could definitely relate to is the impatience for me, of taking the time to get ready in the morning when I so want to be at my desk already creating
it
at my computer.
It reminds me of Gary Vee, just randomly producing. Like, he has the, like, bevy of people, but at the same time, sometimes he just records stuff on his phone and puts it out.
Yeah.
And we've never seen him in his bathrobe and don't really want to. Sorry,
no,
Gary.
But I did see
but it's that, yeah, that concept. They're just like, your phone has become your scribe and recorder.
Yeah.
And so that's your like personal assistant. It's literally in your back pocket. So anytime you have an idea, you can, and I recently downloaded a recorder on my phone, guys. So I can actually start doing this. Yeah. She's always had one. She's been getting on me to get one and I'm like, okay, I'll do it later.
It's an app that is so simple. So yes, back to Gary Vee. Yeah. I did see one snippet where he was like literally rolling out of his bed, grabbing his phone and doing a recording about something, you know, that was on his mind when he just got out of bed, you know, kind of thing. And so, I mean, that's obviously not the majority of the content he puts out there, but it's about living the life. And
you never know what's going to take off. I think that's what's beautiful. You could say something so random at any given time and you have no idea how it's going to take off. And it could be like your most, it could be your weirdest clip that was the least edited that seems like you're groggy, you're foggy in the brain, you just woke up, you haven't had coffee yet, you're barely sentencing, but everybody loves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or on the other side, it could be like you were on point, you were in this interview and it was bomb and everybody's just like, yeah, but I like you pre-coffee, actually, kind of. You know?
Yeah, you know, because you never know. So, but it gets back to the concept of what is in your mind and heart does not have to have a perfect outer place and forum for, you know, for expressing itself. So it's whatever, whenever, and the most important thing is that you do it, is that you get your work into the world, is that you pull what's inside out and start to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Don't wait for the perfect scenario, because those are like, so last year, last
century,
last millennium, you know, what is it like, what is it, 19th century, you know, in a way, it's like, yeah, it doesn't belong
to 20th
century. Yeah, it doesn't belong here. And so, yeah, so don't be afraid to put your work out in the world and claim your stake wherever you are. And
embrace the roller coaster ride. Like, you don't have to ignore the fact that it's hard to put your work out there and that you might feel uncomfortable with putting something out. I was editing a podcast episode the other day that I just didn't like it. It was rambly. It was one of our early recordings.
Remember the thought that you said, oh, that, I can't believe I said that.
Okay, so guys, we're not going to release that one, at least not yet. It's very rambly. It was one of our early ones. But we were talking about how daily steps in the direction of your dreams
is a proven path to success.
She knows
daily
it.
Steps in the direction of your dreams is a proven path to success.
Boom, that. And so she was talking about it, and then I started talking about it, but it was before I'd really like gotten a hang of this talking into a microphone and having thoughts that other people are going to hear concept. And so I was saying, like, it's so fun to drive in a car with other people, and it's so much more fun than to sit in a car and think with your own thoughts. And I was just listening to that over and over. I'm like, I cannot believe that came out of my mouth. And it's just some of those things, like, you have to embrace the fact that you're not always going to sound amazing.
Yeah.
And probably more often than not, it's sort of like I was thinking about this concept this morning. It's like, nobody will simultaneously love and hate the work you do more than you, because on one hand, you're going to be like, yes, I'm so proud that I published it. And on the other hand, you're going to be like, gosh, but I could have done so much better.
Yeah.
And I forgot to say that thing that would have been the zinger on top. Yeah. And so you have to balance out this this polarizing feeling about how you feel about your work.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing that is most pivotal and difficult to sort of be okay with whatever we put out, and that is that whatever we do, I want to make sure that it doesn't waste people's time it offers some kind of value. And the deal is, it's really hard to know sometimes when you live with what you live with and you carry on the life that you carry on. Sometimes it can be hard to know what might be of value to the listeners, to the audience, to others. What we love is, like, there are times that we get into conversations as a result of working together and working from home, And you never know when those conversations are going to riff off into a really inspiring direction, and where you said, gosh, we should have been recording that, which essentially was the catalyst for creating the coffee break sessions. Mm-hmm. And some of them are looser than others. Some of them are shorter than others. And some of them we get more on point than others. But whatever it is, if you're listening and if you listened this far into the podcast,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us what you liked and what you didn't like. Tell us what you'd like to hear and see more of. And if it's within our comfort zone of conversation, then we would definitely take that into consideration.
Even if it's a little outside our comfort zone of conversation.
Well, what I meant by that is we're not going to talk about things that are not a part of our consciousness and awareness to talk about.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about how much we hate ourselves. Oh my gosh, artists do that. I think newer artists do that so much. They take on this persona of needing to like feel like to be a real artist, you have to like hate yourself.
Oh, that's another topic, another coffee break topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You should do that.
And I felt that way for a little while, but more because I had learned about that mindset from reading like other amateur artists. And I feel like going from amateur to pro isn't necessarily about how much you're making money wise, though that is a big part of it. I think it first comes from realizing that you're actually like the work you put into the world is worth it and that it matters. And so I think it's a very, and I could be wrong, I'd love to know your guys' thoughts on this, but I think it's a very amateur move to have the energy of self-loathing.
Oh, absolutely.
In your work. Like, absolutely. why are you, and there's a stage where you have to push through disliking parts of who you are, who you've become, what you're working with. Maybe your skill level isn't up to snuff and that gives you some insecurity, but like what you have to offer is of value to somebody. And until you cross that hurdle of, I am owning all my flaws and imperfections around it, then I think it's very hard to go pro in your work.
Yeah. Definitely. So let's go ahead and close this one, because I think we should do another one on that concept, because it's such an important point. And please send us an email, creators@icreatedaily.com. Tell us what you liked and didn't like and what you'd like to see more of. And also, please check out our 90-day journals. That's icreatedaily.com/90-day journal.
Or you can just 90-day goal. If you just go to the I Create Daily, there's a tab that says 90-day journals.
Yeah, you'll get to it, and we'll link it in this podcast. That will help you stay on track with your goals and get stuff done.
And create daily, folks.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for joining us for the I Create Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the I Create Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.